All right, so I'm rolling. You rolling?
I am rolling.
All right. So here we are. What are we going to talk about tonight?
It's been another long few days. I got a few good stories, a few good things happening that are out of the ordinary, I think.
Ooh, out of the ordinary.
Rather than the humdrum of all the computers going out, you know, all the new builds, new servers, new this, new that. I got a few different things.
Yeah. I got some, I had a few things. It's more angry tech things, though. So,
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
The angry tech.
Angry tech. So, I should mention, I talked to Obando today.
Did you really?
I did. Oh. I should say that he, what do they call the little Google Hangout ping thingy?
I only use Google Hangout for this show. I don't use it for anything else. Not the person to ask.
Now and then I get messages from guys on the Hangout where it's a little instant message, although I don't treat it as an instant message. It's not tweeted. So he sent a thing yesterday? No. Yeah, it was the day before. So he sent a thing like the day before saying, you know, hey, Marvin, saying hi. And that was it. And so I wrote back, holla. And then today, he basically says, hope you're doing well. And then asked about if I had time to talk a little bit about the mob, the managed backup for Max Focus. Or he said GFI in the thingy. So we talked about that today.
The mob, yep.
Talked about the mob. And, it's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, I guess for people that have been with GFI and Max Focus and now SolarWinds, you know, if you never really use the backup, it's actually quite easy. And
it is.
You just basically go in and either select a site and say, turn it on. And if you leave the default, it'll basically grab the user profile. You know, all the important locations in there, the documents, the pictures, and all of that. He was a little off on the price, so we had to discuss that. And
I mean, I think the basic price, what, 50 cents a gig? Is that the basic price that we get charged? I know there's different levels, but if you're just starting off, I think it's 50 cents a gig, right?
That's not what I get charged.
That's not what I get charged, but I think... I think if you're just starting, that's what you're going to have to pay.
I think they changed it to where you can have a pricing structure of per station or per server. And, I mean, I won't say what the lowest are, but, I mean, for the most part, you're talking 10 bucks a station, 50 bucks a server, our cost, I think. That's not what I get charged.
Not looking to
that shouldn't be.
I mean, I know it's not what we pay.
I was going to say it shouldn't be what you get charged either.
No.
So.
But it's an easy thing to use.
Yeah. So
I do like it.
It's interesting enough, though. I have not in. Let's see. I've been using that for three. So for 2.5, I've not ever had to do a restore from the mob. Have you?
Oh yeah, many times.
Really?
Yep.
Not had to restore once. But it looks easy enough. I mean, I've gone into the backup manager and looked at files just to make sure. And I actually, when I was talking to him today, I actually went in because I couldn't remember how long they kept data for. I was thinking it was 30 days, but they actually keep stuff. They actually do versioning after 30 days. It then versions by month. So I've got backups going all the way into 2016. I think I've got one into 2015 where they, you know, leave the last backup of the month for you to go back if you need stuff a year back.
Yeah, I had to do one today for a client because a notebook was stolen, and of course he had everything local. So now he wants to have the online backup because he doesn't want to use a server. He wants to use his own notebook.
Wait a minute, he had a server stolen?
No, he had his computer stolen, but he didn't want to save stuff on the server, so he had it all local.
Oh, okay. Who needs a server?
Yeah, I don't need that. So now he wants the, you know, he wanted the mob on his new computer.
I mean, who needs a server when you have Dropbox, right?
He lost a lot of stuff. And it's funny because you might get this too, right? You might get where after it's stolen, they ask you, hey, do we have some kind of tracking enabled on these things? And like, no, I've mentioned it and I recommended it, but y'all have never wanted to do it. It's funny how they always want to do it after.
Of course, of course. Right? You know.
And I said, told them, no, we've discussed it. You didn't want to do it. I said, is this something you want to implement going forward? And of course, no. Yeah, because it's already happened.
Right, right.
I don't think it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they never want to do it. They always want to do it. When it happens, they want to have done it like the day before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or it's, weren't you just doing that for me as part of your price?
Yeah. So that was funny. So.
Yep, the good old mob. Ladies and gentlemen, use the mob for backup, not for other things. So.
Well, I'm not going to, you know, depends on what you want to do.
You want to?
So I had a customer. This isn't all that uncommon.
Oh, you know what? You know what we should do? Hang on. Before we get started, we should properly open the show.
Oh, okay.
So this is what we, you know, we just.
It's only 8 minutes in.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podnuts Pro. This is show number 118. I am your host, Marvin B. We are joined by my good buddy and pal, Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. And how are you?
I, as mentioned earlier, I will be the angry tech this evening. So we are back, and I feel pretty good. I should probably say I like coming to the office.
See, when you've worked from home and then you get an office, it is nice to go to the office. When you work at the office all the time, it's nice to work from home.
But I've been on both sides two or three times now because I've worked from home. I had an office. Well, no, I worked from home and then I had an office that was next door. And then we moved and then I had an office that was on the other side of the complex. That was a commute. Not as long as this one, but it was a commute. And then when the tenant moved out beside us, I moved my office right beside us again. So twice I've had my office. I mean, I still had to leave the house to go to work, but it was great because I would just leave the office and go next door. So for the last 3 years, I've been back at home, which you're right. A lot of times it's nice. A lot of times it isn't.
I'd much rather work from the office. I like to work from home occasionally.
Working from home is good if you just need to check something quick or you need a quick connection, but it's not, you know, there are times, I mean, I've had to come over a couple of times at night, and of course the wife is like, well, didn't we make it so you could work from home in the evenings? But, you know, you don't have all your notes, you don't have all your papers, you don't have your three monitors, you don't have, you know, all that stuff that just makes it so much easier if you've got to do so many things, so... So I'm still heading over, but we are making the transition to where I can leave the office 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night and not come back till the morning. So
wait, what time do you leave to go to the office?
To go to the office?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm leaving about 8.
Oh, okay.
But I'm talking about when I leave the office to go home, it could be anywhere from 5 to 7.
Okay, that's good. So. I misunderstood. I thought you'd leave between 5 and 7 to go to the office.
I did read a thing on what the richest people in the world do and, you know, trying to take a tip from Warren Buffett where, you know, he gets to work before everybody else in the morning. He still likes to get up and get there like at 5 a.m. That ain't ever going to be me.
I don't see me doing that either.
I mean...
I like to still be sleeping at 5 a.m.
I mean, I guess if I could make his kind of money, if that meant getting up at 5 a.m. to make that kind of money, I'd do it for a while.
Yeah, I guess I could swing that too.
So, all right, so now that we've properly opened the show and, of course, done our usual rabbit hole, Let's go ahead and go back to where you were going with, you had a story that just seemed to be rolling off the tip of your tongue there.
Yeah, so it's not that uncommon, especially if it's for home users. I don't do a lot of home users. So maybe those out there who do home users, this is average for them. So she calls me, and a client calls and says, what can I do about ants living in her notebook? So if she's using her notebook and she, let's say, puts it on her lap to use it, you know, sitting at the sofa or whatever, if she uses it more than a few minutes, she's covered in ants. How do you like that?
And you took that as a tech call.
I said, she says, did I bring it to you? I'm like, I don't want that in my office.
I don't need your ants here.
But it is an owner of a company. So I said, okay. So what I'm concerned about is why the ants are in there. They don't just go in there because they think it's cool. I'm thinking something got spilled in there.
Right.
And that's what's attracting them.
But here's...
So I say, you may have more going on than the ants. The ants are being attracted to probably residue of something that's dried, that's been spilled in the machine. Is that what you think, too? That's what
I thought. I was going to say, did you ask if it was, if the ants were always in the computer, or if they just happened to just be in the computer when she used it? Like, if she just opened, I'm assuming it's a laptop, so if she just opens the laptop and it's ant-free for like 10 minutes, and then the ants start showing up, I mean, that's a whole different investigation.
Yeah, I think that her theory is, when it's on, it heats up and they leave because it gets
hot.
It gets hot.
Well, I mean, I get hot too sometimes, but.
Now, she said, I keep this one on the kitchen counter. So maybe they just are there because I'm thinking, well, God, what does your kitchen counter look like? But she said, well, even if you had it on your kitchen counter, they're going to be attracted to something that's inside the computer. Right, that's what I'm thinking.
And I was thinking
the exterminator.
I was thinking the other way around, where the heating up was like casting off an aroma. You know, if there were some crustiness or, you know, honey drippings or something as it heated up, and
honey drippings
attracted like the ants or something. So so we're kind of thinking the same. So what happened in your investigation?
Well, she's going to bring it tomorrow, and she just called today, and I'm just going to leave it outside for a little while. I'm not going to bring it in my office. I'm going to leave it outside and turn it on and see what happens.
Take an air balloon.
I'm just going to take it apart and get a little shop back thing and suck it out or blow it out or something, but I just think it's strange. And I told her, I can get rid of the ants, but if there's something in it that's attracting them, they're going to come back.
Well, yeah, so you're going to have a guarantee or something she signs afterwards, you know, that the computer is ant-free now, but we can't guarantee it'll stay ant-free when it goes back to your kitchen environment.
Well, I have that on all my computer forms.
Really? The the kitchen environment?
We return all computers ant-free.
Because, I mean, it's almost like you got to send a tech out there to inspect.
And she said, have you ever heard of such a thing? Have you ever seen that before? And I said, well, I've found rats living in computers.
Roaches.
I've seen other kind of critters, but I don't know if I've seen ants in computers before.
I don't know. I'm sure we can get...
I'm sure there's lots of people that have that experience with home user support.
Yeah, we could probably open the floodgates and say, send us your computer critter stories.
Some leave it outside, turn it on, and see what happens. And then she says... It's a 7-year-old Mac. And then my thought was, okay, do we even want to worry about this? I think it's time for a new computer.
Hmm. Which part got you? The 7 years or the Mac?
The 7 years. Okay. Which for a Mac is getting older, right? A Mac lives longer than a PC. It's like dog years and human years, right?
Yeah.
The dog is the Mac. The PC... Because it dies quicker, and the human is the Mac, longer lifespan. Right.
I'm gonna let you hang on that one. I get enough email on my comments on the human condition.
But with that said, I'm on a Mac right now. I have a Mac notebook. I have a Mac computer that I do this show on that I work from home from, but I'm not buying any more Macs.
Ever had any ants in it?
No, I'm ant-free. But I'm not buying any more Macs. I like the Mac. I'm just not going to buy them anymore. In fact, listen to this. My daughter
wants a Mac.
I found my daughter's notebook in her room. She's out of town, so we emptied her room because my wife is painting her room.
Oh, okay. Did you tell her you were emptying the room before she left?
Yes. Yeah. And my wife brings me the Mac. She has a MacBook Pro notebook, and it's older. You know, it might be 6-7 years old as well. But it's not attracting ants. But and she goes, did you know this was like this? I said, like what? She goes, open it. I open it and the screen's all cracked.
Oh.
And there is scotch tape all over it, holding the glass in.
Not Gorilla tape?
No, just scotch tape. Which also explains why I haven't been able to find my scotch tape lately. So she's out of town and I texted her. I said, what happened? Again, I've told her before, I've gone in the room, and with many home users, I've seen this. They leave their computer on their bed or on the floor. I told her, do not do this. You were going to step on this thing getting out of bed.
Right.
I text her, what happened? She said, oh, I stepped on when I got out of bed. Mm-hmm. Okay. I said, I like the scotch tape job. I might bring this to work and show my text as a learning lesson. She said, ha ha, thanks. The glass was cutting my finger, so I taped it up. Yeah, so she took care of that.
So the lap, so it was a touch screen.
No, but I guess when she would open the lid, okay, the glass around the edges was cutting her fingers.
Okay.
So the tape fixed that problem.
Doesn't she know what Daddy spends for lunch? She could get a new laptop.
Yeah. But she never told me about this. And I said, how long has this been like this? She goes, oh, a few months. That's nice.
Actually, that's pretty good. I mean, most kids would have, you know, requested it right away. I mean, she's at least being mindful or frugal, or I don't know what the correct phrase is, but that sounds pretty good.
Deceitful?
Actually, well, deceitful would be trying to get a new one for a different reason. She's not even trying to get a new one.
No, what she did instead is take my wife's notebook, and my wife's always complaining that she can't find a notebook because it's in her room.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's,
but now we know why.
That's a kid thing, too.
We've solved many problems. Where the scotch tape went, where her notebook is, it's all coming
there
together.
There you go.
So why are you so upset today? You don't sound upset now. I'm glad you're over it. But if you talk about it, it might bring it out.
Well, I've had a little, you know, I had a cup of tea this afternoon, so calmed me down, soothed me.
Are you a tea drinker?
I am a tea drinker.
Okay.
And I have many different teas.
Like a hot tea or a...
I do both.
Green tea.
I do both.
Earl Grey?
I do Earl Grey hot. I have a white tea. I have a green tea. And I have a chai tea.
I see.
So
the tea calmed you down.
Yeah.
So we're calm now. We can talk about what happened and reflect.
Yeah. So here's, let me start with an okay story, going off of your computer age venture. So I've got a customer that it's a decent sized law firm. It's got, you know, it's 100 and something people there. And they have an inside tech. And they have a few computers that are of age. So this one person in the billing department has been constantly complaining about not being able to do certain functions of the billing variety, which, you know, basically is, you know, pushing time and doing certain stuff. And she, you know, claims how slow it is when that happens. So they finally start thinking, well, maybe it's time to upgrade her computer or something like that. And so Junior basically says to the firm administrator, well, we just got her a new computer. And they're like, oh, okay. Now, he didn't actually say it. It was in an email form. And that's the reason I can relay the story, because I read their emails are into a support queue where all the anything tech related goes into, you know, the support email. So I was looking at it that way. So I finally had to chime in and send an email to the firm administrator saying that, you know, I've been following the trail, and the junior is wrong on two accounts. One, he didn't just get her a new computer. So here it is, July 2017, and his idea of giving somebody a new computer was October of 2013. So I said, well, just by that logic alone, it's a four-year-old computer. But what he did not do was look into any sort of inventory or even go to the computer or check it out or anything, because by the model number alone, I would have known, oh, this is an old computer. So I went back into the inventory and I looked. The BIOS date on the computer is July 2010. And furthermore, the computer still has 2 gigs of RAM.
2 gigs? Wow.
And a 160 gig hard drive.
Nice. Not one, but two.
2 gigs. And so I was like, did the tech even go look at the computer?
He's working from memory.
And I was just like, how in the world? So, of course, then the administrator's like, well, that's pretty old. I said, okay, she's not even the oldest computer in the firm. She is number 8 in line of the oldest computer.
Wow.
But
so they don't have any kind of system where they replace the computers every
No, their, every their years. System is... Oh, do you need a new computer? Okay, we'll get you a new computer.
And typically, law firms, are they? Do they do the I'm going to get me one and you get my old
oh,
one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, down. Yes, yes. Although, right now, it's not too bad a deal because this is also a client that they can't move past Windows 7 or Office 2010 because of their case management software. So some of the computers are still relatively, if they're in that 3 to 4 year range, you know, most of those computers were worth 4 gigs of RAM, 500 gig mechanical drive. So what I can do with those is bump them up to 8 gigs in a SSD drive, and that'll get a couple more years out of it. So that's what I've been doing for the last few months, but only on systems that are, you know, 3-4 years old. So, you know, systems that are Core i5, or something like that. But the problem is that they've got all these computers that are still, I mean, we're talking, I don't even know if they're dual core. I think they're just straight Pentiums with 2 gigs of RAM. Most of them are 250 gig hard drives, and most of them are from 2010 as a BIOS date, which is the date I always go by on the age of a computer, since we don't do BIOS flashes as much anymore. But what they do is they look at the Windows install date, and that's how old they think the computer is.
Could be reinstalled 5 times since they bought right. it. It's new to them.
It's new to them.
It was
that's
installed
right.
Last year.
So yes, they do the musical computers.
Because law firms are all about pecking order.
Yes.
Right. You can't get a new computer. Your computer can't be newer than mine because I am more important than you. That's their mentality.
Oh yeah.
And we can't afford to get 10 computers. There's 10 people below me, right? I need a new one. You know, so it's all about pecking order for them.
Oh, yeah. And it used to be, it was really bad for a while where one new computer meant 4 rebuilds because, yeah. You know, this computer goes to this person and their computer goes to another person and then so on and so on until the oldest one, you know, went to the file clerk.
You know? And they say, well, why is this one computer install so expensive?
That's right. You know, because it takes you a whole day to rebuild, you know, all the profiles. Now, I did replace a computer recently that was, this was hilarious. So I get we get a thing to ship a computer, and this one is a remote computer in Tampa. So the computer that I get on last night to do the transfer, because I have a tech that goes out, sets it up on site, then calls me, and I'll, you know, back up the files and settings from the old computer and then get them onto the new computer. So I'm looking at the old computer, and it's moving pretty quick. And I'm thinking, okay, this computer ain't bad. What's the... So this computer is a... let's see, what is it? So I'm looking at the computer. It's a Intel Core i5, 3 gigahertz, with 8 gigs of RAM and a 500 gig Western Digital drive. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, this computer's moving just fine. The BIOS date on it is September 2015. But this person just complained and complained and complained and said, this computer sucks. So she got a new computer. And what did she get? A Core i5, 3.2 gigahertz with 8 gigs of RAM and a 500 gig hard drive.
So this case management software, it only runs on Windows 7.
Well, their version. Because, you know, they didn't want to upgrade.
Okay. And it's it can be 64-bit Windows 7 just...
Correct. Yeah. But all that is supposed to change in a month. They're going to finally upgrade. And then we can start getting new computers. And then, of course, there will be a big rush. Because all the partners will want new Windows 10 computers. Because as soon as you bring one in, then the others will want in.
Of course.
Which will be interesting because not only will we have to deal with that, we have to deal with all the Office upgrades, and then it'll be a matter of do they go volume license at that point or do they go subscription model?
Right. That's the two. I mean, it's really, that's the only two choices. Me, no, none of this OEM 2016 home and business stuff. That's terrible.
No. I have one, and you might be surprised at this. I have one Office 2010 home and business license to install. One last one.
Is this something you had in stock?
Yep. We brought a ton of
finally
these.
Unloaded on some unsuspecting client.
No, they know. This is them. This is the only way I could get them stuff is I bought a ton of the product key cards.
Okay.
So I have one left and one copy of, get this, Adobe Standard 9.0.
Wow. That's real secure.
So, what got me angry today? Comcast. Oh, my God.
Wait, you didn't even just said it. You already... Do you need to get a T? Do we need to hold on while you get a T?
So, I've been in the office going on 3 weeks. We've already been down 3 times.
Are these long outages?
Yes.
Or like 10 minutes here,
no,
5 minutes
no.
there?
No, it was, today it was 2 hours. Last Friday it was 3 hours. And I finally today I spoke to an American.
Me too. Oh, wait, not okay. Look.
So I was happy for a moment.
Until you talked to them for longer than a few seconds,
yes.
And it went south.
Then it was like, so how are you doing today? I'm like, well, if I'm calling you, I'm not doing that well. And of course, they can't ever explain anything. So, I finally just had to lay into her. I said, look, I'm getting tired of your commercials that are sitting there saying, Comcast is giving you fast and reliable service. And I'm like, I don't care how fast you are if you're not reliable. I said, when I was at the residence, it was one thing. I couldn't complain because it was home. But you're touting business class service that isn't helping my business because we're down so much. Well, sir, I'm sorry to hear that. You know what I can do for you is since you've been down this much, I can give you a little credit. How's $55?
I can give you that's what I was going to say. Probably they prorate it by hour. Mm-hmm. So
$55. I said, I lost that in the last half hour waiting for you to get on the line.
So do they give you the reason for the outage?
No, they can't anymore. All they say is, well, it seems as though your issue is related to an outage in the area.
Hmm. Do you document all these? Do you like have a little log?
Oh, I do, yeah. That's why she was so quick to offer me the prorated discount. Because I'll just say, look, I was down here, and I've got not only my router logs, but I've got the GMS, where I actually have it send me alerts when we go down and when we come up. So I can basically go to my email log and say, here, this is the times.
Did you get the email for the Comcast rep? Have a copy go to them, too.
I don't have a rep. I'm dealing with a damn rep.
Every person you talk to at Comcast, add them to the list of when it goes out, they get an email, too.
I know I just got something where somebody wanted to give me they're sending out those stupid letters. Let's give you a free evaluation. Some evaluation of what?
How about my poor my services?
You're selling the same. It's not like you're giving me any different service. You're Comcast.
I'm sure there's something else they can sell you that you're not subscribing to yet.
There's no more plans. I'm at the highest plan there is, which is a crappy.
They can sell you some kind of hosted, some other kind of hosted service.
Oh, wait, if you bundle phone service, I'm sure it'll be better. I'm not bundling my phone service with Comcast.
So your constant outages are upsetting you.
So how long have I been doing these podcasts? And how long have I been saying how Comcastic I am?
Yeah.
It just never ends. The problem is there's this whole thing with, sorry, I'm derailing right now. This deregulation and opening up competition. Have you noticed there is no competition?
Then it's like there is in your area.
I mean, it's either Comcast Cable or AT&T UVerse, which I can get 6 megs up and 1.5 down, or 6 down and 1.5 up. That's not very much competition.
I have a lot of choices where I am. We have a lot more choices than it sounds like you have. I've probably got at least, I mean, like there's LUS Fiber, there's Cox, there's AT&T, there's...
I even went to those, you know, the internet's got all those stupid sites, you know, broadband.com or whatever, bandwidth.com, where you can go and, you know, put in your address and it'll tell you all the service that's available. Uh-huh. So I did one. Comcast didn't even come up. I had one AT&T service. I mean, I was looking for anything because, you know, I thought by now I'm on a major road. I'm right near a freaking interstate. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a fiber corridor somewhere around here. Nothing. No AT&T, no Windstream, no FPL FiberNet, no Google Fiber, no Michigan. I can't believe I'm getting fiber outside of the state of Michigan fiber. I mean, nothing.
You would expect more in Hollywood, huh?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, Fort Lauderdale. A suburb of... Well, actually, Hollywood's a suburb of Fort Lauderdale, so...
Okay. I keep thinking Hollywood because that's where the CompTIA was, and I knew you were near
that
there.
That is true. Oh, and that was a fantastic hotel. I made a note that I got to take the wife there.
Yeah, I didn't make that one.
That's one you should have made. Although
I was on vacation at the exact same time, and I'm on vacation this year at the exact same time of CompTIA. CompTIA is in Austin, Texas this year, end of the month. And I'll be on vacation for that one as well.
I am not going to CompTIA this year.
I'm not here. It's in Austin. I like Austin, but I haven't heard of anyone even talking about it on the Podnuts Network.
I got a call from them saying, "We see that you haven't signed up yet. Are you going?" I'm like, yeah. What?
I get those emails too.
No, I had a phone call.
A phone call?
Yeah, and I'm like, wait a minute. Why are you calling the man in the van? After you dissed us so bad 3 years ago.
Because your money is still fine.
Still green. So
I probably would have gone if I was on vacation, but I'm curious if anybody out there is going this year. Send us an email.
Yes.
podnutspro@podnuts.com. I'd like to know who's going, if people are still going to that.
CompTIA. ChannelCon is what it is.
Yeah, I like the one in Phoenix. I liked the one in Chicago. The one in Phoenix was much better, I think, than Chicago. I just like Chicago, but I'd like to make it back again. Have to see where it is next year.
Yeah, I'm conventioned out this year. I had all those ones earlier, Chicago, Colorado, and of course we'll be having the one later this year, the DC Unconvention.
That's right.
And
looking forward to that one.
And You, I'm sure by now you've noticed the new page.
I was looking at the new page, and a few questions arose as I...
Like, who's that good-looking black dude on that?
As I browsed the website, I thought, this brings up questions. So since you're on the committee...
Yes.
I'm going to ask you. Uh-oh. Okay.
I slept through half the last one, so I may...
All right. Maybe you don't know. I'm going to go to the... I'm on the site.
Okay.
I'm going to the schedule page.
We are on unconvention.io, so please follow along.
Okay. So I look at the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, Says check-in and breakfast.
Yes.
Then in parentheses included.
Yes. Breakfast is
included. I mean, does that imply check-in and breakfast is included?
Yes. Included okay. in the price of admission, you will be allowed to check in and you would get breakfast.
Okay. So the next thing at 10:15 says
And not just breakfast, a delicious breakfast.
Delicious breakfast catered by a local restaurant. Now, I have a question. McDonald's is a local restaurant.
Well,
do you know what local restaurant is going to be providing this delicious breakfast?
Well, you know, the I'm on the planning committee. There's a whole catering committee, so I'm not.
There's another committee.
I'm not privy to the catering side. Oh yeah, we've got a catering committee. We've got sponsorships, a sponsorship division. We've got logistics. I mean, I'm just on the planning. So I can give you, you know, the 30,000 foot view. I just can't give you the nitty gritty.
All right. So at 9:30, check-in and breakfast is included.
Yes.
But the next thing is has pod note, but it doesn't say included. Is the pod note not included in the ticket?
Well, I think that there was just, I do remember bits and pieces of the discussion where we wanted people to know that, you know, meals were included.
I see. If you compare the CompTIA schedule, mm-hmm. ChannelCon, yeah. to this, it just says breakfast, and it's implied that since it's on the schedule, it's going to be part of the convention.
Well, let's go.
In my preference, I think included is not needed. Because lunch just has two plus marks next to it on Saturday, but on Sunday, it says lunch included. I'm not sure the two plus mark. Do you know what the two plus signs mean next to lunch on Saturday?
I have no idea. Maybe.
Does it mean like a supersized lunch?
I'm looking to see if there's a little notation at the bottom of the page.
There's not. No. I looked.
Okay.
So it's lunch plus plus. I'm expecting a huge lunch.
Maybe it's the McDonald's supersize.
And then the next day, lunch included.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it's included with. Is lunch included with lunch?
Well, here's the thing. Lunch, here's the thing. Here's what you probably...
This is the grammar police here.
Yeah. Here's what you missed in the nuance of the breakfast included. Okay. And then Sunday breakfast included. The Sunday afternoon lunch included. Not in parentheses. So that's a pretty emphatic lunch is included on Sunday. Now, if you go back to the lunch on Saturday, it's at the plus plus. Notice the next line where it says, we'll provide lunch to go.
Yes. See, we need some unification. Some unification here.
Well, no, because the included means that it's there. I mean, so to me, that means you got to get up, go get it. It might be a buffet. It might be, you know, but lunch... provided. I mean, you're going to be given a hands-on lunch experience.
Were you going to say a ham sandwich? Because this says lunch to go. I'm envisioning like a ham sandwich in a brown paper bag. Okay. I have another thing I'm going to notice. I'm just going to make a mention of
okay,
this.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Okay. There's four meals included, two breakfasts, two lunch.
Right.
Okay. Only one is described as delicious.
Well, listen, how much higher can you go than delicious?
But you could put delicious on each of them.
Yeah, but that's just to get you in. You know, okay. We got to get you in with delicious. Then you're stuck. I mean, where else are you going to go? You're going to be walking around the streets of D.C. looking for a delicious lunch? Come on. You're staying there at the unconvention.
You know, this
because,
I'm just say,
because
this
right
convention,
after the lunch, you're going to have an expert presentation.
Right.
So you're not going to like be out somewhere looking for lunch and miss the expert presentation by being late. So you're going to stay for the provided lunch.
Yes. I will stay for the provided lunch because it's 2 hours.
So it's, see, supersized.
I guess that's what it means. Is the plus one plus per hour?
I will.
Okay. It'd be funny to little down the very bottom, just go down and it said plus each plus equals 1 hour. Just so, because I'm not sure what the two pluses mean.
Okay. I am. Wow. I hope this airs after the next committee meeting.
I will say, I'm just having a little fun. I am looking forward to this convention.
Oh, wait a minute. How do you get to the... So the whole reason I brought this up was... There's a whole Meet the Speakers page, but how do you get to it?
So on the schedule, you go down to the 10:15 and you click the link, Meet the Speakers.
It's underlined.
Correct. And here we have our own Marvin B., second billing.
I think we need to talk to the web guru and let him know to, that needs to be emphasized to, you know, Meet the Speakers. Because you could blow right by that.
I did, you know, so I clicked on that just thinking I would be able to.
Because you got that breakfast, that delicious breakfast, the pod note, and then you're on to, you know, you're getting ready for that supersized lunch. You could fly right by. So
this Brian Best of Best Max grew his business from break fix to retail to an MSP.
Yes.
And now he's building products for other IT businesses.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds like it deserves top billing.
Yeah. I think that should be good.
Yeah.
I would definitely be there with my, just having finished my to-go lunch.
And then basically it starts the tier from that. So that's kind of like the pinnacle to get you started. And then I think we drop to the bottom of the ladder and then you see
that's all
me there.
It's downhill the rest of the day.
Well, no, because, you know, we have to end on a high night, on a high note. With David Sims. So then if you think about this as a musical scale, you know, they come in with a nice, I don't know what the first part
nice
of
intro.
The nice intro. Christian. Yeah. And then it kind of dips down and you have Marvin B of the Pod Nuts Bro. And then you build up, you know, Matt Rodella, host of the Computer Business Marketing Show. Then you build up a little bit more crescendo, Mike Smith, host of the Mike Smith Tech Show. And then the crescendo, J. David Sims, founder of HIPAA for MSPs.
Okay, so these people on this little list here, this is the people involved in the pod note, and they maybe also be doing some of the other working groups.
Yes.
And hands-on labs.
Yes.
Very nice.
I can only speak for myself, but yes.
You're on the committee. You speak for the unconvention.
I just raise my hand and nod when I'm supposed to.
Are there notes about when you're supposed to nod?
I take.
Spill that out in advance. All right. So we'll move on from the unconvention, but I'll be there. Of course, Marvin will be there. He's second billing. Nice picture on the site, by the way. Reminds me of your website picture.
I wonder how that happened. That's the only publicly released Uncle Marv approved picture, so.
I could have sent him one. I think I had one that I took a screen grab from.
Yeah, where's yours? We can put it up together. We can be Marvin B., Matt Rainey.
I put it on Facebook a while back, your picture.
Oh, that one. No.
Yeah.
That wasn't Uncle Marv approved.
All right. So, yeah, it's coming up fast for the convention. So. I'm going to another story.
Okay.
We have a client that has a piece of software that is very, very touchy. Okay. Lots of corruption in this software.
Mm.
If you look at the software wrong on the screen, it's going to corrupt data.
Database related?
Well, the software vendor support has been looking at it for months. And they say, do this, do this, do this. None of that works. So then I look at it, the customer says, look, I want to make sure, in light of how sensitive this data is and its corruption, I want to make sure that all the battery backups work. Now, they have smart UPSs on their workstation as well.
Right.
To make sure they're shutting down the computers properly so we can avoid this corruption on the software.
Sounds reasonable.
It does at first, when you first hear it, right? But then I told him, look, if the reasoning to make the UPS is to make sure they work, it's not going to affect the software at all. Let's think about this. If they leave the software open and they go home for the night, power goes out. The PowerSuite software says, I need to shut down. It's going to force quit every program that's open and shut Windows down correctly. Well, yeah. Doesn't care about the programs you have open.
No.
So that's not going to solve any problems if they leave the software open, right?
No. Nope.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, it does.
It's going to force quit that. It's just the same thing as you just pull the power cord on your computer as far as a program is concerned.
Right. And even the same.
So I explained.
Even the same for the server. The server's not going to gracefully close each and every program.
No, it closes Windows. It doesn't care what you have open.
Right.
So I explained this to him and said, look, we can definitely check the battery backups to make sure that it shuts the computer down, but it's not going to solve any problems with this software because, you know, same reason I just told you. I said, but if you would still like us to check the battery backups, let me know. So then he replied saying, yes, I'd still like to check them all. Jeez. Okay. This is a client who never can be down.
Never. Never. Mm.
So you know what it's going to take to test all these, right? One at a time.
Well, yeah.
Pull the cord on the battery backup. Make sure the software shuts the computer down.
Yeah.
Whatever the timeline is on that.
And the key phrase of that is shut down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on our testing, we would close the programs, and we would pull the power cord of the battery backup and wait per computer. They've got maybe 30 or more, and they can never be down.
You do them one at a time, not going to...
But even still, we do it one at a time, but, I mean, that's only what we can do. I don't have 30 techs to watch 30 computers at once. I could do, you know, a couple at a time, but... So that's going to be a nightmare to test all that, and it's still not going to fix the problem with the software. So he said, well, we always close the software anyway. Okay, so why is the battery backup important then if it's working correctly? You know, there's a disconnect, right? We want to make sure the battery backup is working to prevent data loss in the software. Mm-hmm. If the software is closed, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I understand. I want to make sure the battery backups work.
To prevent data corruption in the software. So a few weeks ago, I had seen that in SolarWinds, that these workstations have a task running at 11:30 at night. Delete all temp files. Reboot the computer.
Oh, hey, I have that running on my stuff too.
Yeah. Okay. You need to get rid of that, probably. I've had, this is not the first place that this has been a problem. I had another client who was having some funky issues in a program, and I saw that, and I got rid of it, and the problem stopped. In fact, I didn't even tell the client that I got rid of it. They just said, hey, the problem stopped. It's working now. I said, yeah, I changed this. But here's the thing. That client, like the one I'm talking about now, says they both close a program out every night.
Liars.
Liars. Liars is the exact word. Because if they were closing it out, that wouldn't have any effect, right?
Yep, that is correct.
So I told the tech person, look, well, they told me today, it hasn't been an issue in 2.5 weeks, so I'm going to close it out. And I said, yeah, it hasn't been an issue in 2.5 weeks because that's when I killed the reboots and the clearing of temp files, which shouldn't have made a difference if they're closing the program as they report they are. And, of course, he replied back saying, well, if you're deleting temp files, that could be the problem. I said, no. Here's the problem is not, in this case, is not deleting temp files because it can't delete a file in use. The problem is the reboot.
Well, not the reboot, because, it's the forced closing
right,
to get to the reboot.
Because it forced closed the programs.
Right.
I said, so, and the guy at the company and the support are both on this string, so they both know that they're not closing the programs. Everyone knows, I've said, if they were being closed as reported, this would not have changed anything, which means it only happens when a user forgets to close the program. Because they weren't getting corruption every day. It might be twice this week,
right,
and, you know, four times this week. And it just takes somebody forgetting to close a program. That reboot forces the program to close. You've got some corruption that they've got to fix. So this has been a problem in two clients now. For whatever reason, the programs that they're using don't like the forced reboot. So if you're using that, I might get rid of it.
I'm only using it on clients where we don't have those types of database type programs. So anywhere where there's a program, like if it's a customer that all they do is a lot of Word files, Excel files, I don't care. save your documents.
Yeah, but until they call and say, which is common, I've been working on this Excel file for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. My computer rebooted overnight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what.
That's right.
Save your documents. But I do have a couple that have database type, this especially SQL based case management systems for the law firms. Can't do that because I mean it just, especially in, you know, for a lot of firms, the smaller firms, most of the techs will know there's a couple of those programs out there, Time Slips and Amicus. Yeah. Those two are some of the worst.
Yeah.
Where any little, like you said, any little hiccup would just ruin that program, and especially Amicus. Do you have anybody with Amicus?
We used to. We still have people running Time Slips.
Okay. Time Slips you probably won't get rid of, but Amicus Attorney, and now that they've been bought, something will be fixed. But if that database corrupted, I had a firm of about 40 people. They would spend the entire day having to rebuild workstations because not only did they, you know, that program had the database on the server, but each workstation had their own local copy that would sync with the server. So if something broke, you would have to rebuild the connection between the workstation and the server. And it could take 2 hours to rebuild a workstation. So imagine 40, and you can't ever do more than 3 or 4 at a time either. So they had this whole hierarchy of who got to be rebuilt first.
Of course. Yep.
So,
and if you get rebuilt last, you know you're pecking order.
Yeah, you just went home for the first half of the day. So,
well, they give you menial tasks.
That's right. Oh, catch up on some filing.
Yeah, they always say that. But yeah, when I recommend they catch up on filing, they have to do something. They don't like it.
Of course not.
Don't you have something to file or shred? I mean, shred your files. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fun testing all those UPSs.
Now, are you?
It's not hard testing the UPS. It's getting the users to let me have their computer. And what if the battery backup runs 30 minutes? I've got to sit there and wait for it to shut down correctly and make sure it works.
Oh, and isn't that going to be the worst? Because you've got to make a lot of small talk.
Well, okay. I'm just going to clear something up. I'm not going to be doing this. My techs will be doing this.
I was
going to
ask if you were going to be going on site for that.
Very funny. No, I will not. One of the benefits of having multiple techs, my techs will be doing this.
Oh, well.
I just get to assign the work order and say, go take care of this.
Have fun. Be sure to bill for every hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the first step I'm going to have them go do is make sure that they actually all have the smart UPS and that it's all installed. And you can tell if the battery works right away, right? We can pull the cord out the wall.
Beep.
If it shuts down right away, battery is no good. So we can do that. And then the next step is to say, do you want us to make sure the software works? Because that's a lot more of waiting.
Right.
So.
Yeah, testing battery backups. My nephew did that yesterday. He's down for the summer and part of his room and board is this summer is that he gets to come to the new office and help, you know, clean up and test some things. I mean, he's 15. I mean, I got to get him ready for the workforce.
Yeah, so. One more year, he'll be in the workforce. Mm-hmm. I started working when I was 16 or 15. No, I was 16. So another client, and this debacle begins years ago. We had a client, they were going from a domain environment to a workgroup environment.
On purpose.
Getting rid of the Active Directory.
On purpose.
Getting rid of the server. Yes. What was that?
On purpose.
On purpose. Because they used to be bigger. Now there's only 3 of them. And the plan was that they were going to actually be closing up shop.
All right. As long as it's not Dropbox as a server. I'm okay with that.
Well, we didn't even do that. We made one of the workstations server.
Okay.
Okay. There's only 3 computers. So they're not going to hit any kind of limits about, you know, file shares and file access. So we moved all the data to this workstation. I'll call it the server now. We moved to this workstation server, backed everything up, you know, we still did permissions and shares and users and scripts to map. So to them, it looked the same.
Right.
Right. They couldn't tell the difference. That was probably 4 years ago-ish. She calls me today or yesterday, says that she needs us to recover data. I said, well, what data? She goes, well, from the old server. I said, well, we moved all the data from the server to the server workstation, so it should be on there. Well, before y'all came, I moved all of my files from the server to a thumb drive, and I was going to put them back after y'all were done. So I said, okay, so I said, why would we do that? Because if you put it back, it may not be in the right area, may not be backed up, may not be secured with the right permissions. She says, well, I just thought I would save you all the time. Like, well, we're moving all the files anyway. What difference is a few more files? I didn't tell her that, but I said, okay, so you moved them from the server to your thumb drive. Okay, well, we don't have the server anymore. You kept it for a couple of years, then you had us wipe the drive and dispose of it. So where's the thumb drive? She said, well, I have the thumb drive, but it's empty. There's nothing on it. And she goes, these files are very important. Okay. Well, they're so important, we didn't notice it for 4 years. One, right?
Yeah.
Because this is, okay. I said, okay. Well, if they're not on the thumb drive, I said, I don't know. We can send the thumb drive off for data recovery. So she didn't want to do that. She goes, well, let me look for the tapes, because we kept the tapes.
Oh, my.
I said, okay. If you kept the tapes, here's what we need. We need the tapes. We need the tape drive. We need the backup software that you were using to back that up. And we need a compatible server to install it all in.
Yeah, yeah, got one of those out back.
I said, okay. So amazingly, she digs up the tapes. She finds the tape drive.
What?
And she finds her Symantec Backup Exec 2010 license.
Get out.
It's an external LTO2 SCSI tape drive. I said, okay, you know what? Hold on. Let me go back. Before she found this stuff, I said, there are data recovery from tapes. Data recovery people, right? You send just like hard drive recovery. You send them the tape, they recover the data. Mm-hmm. I sent her two places. She called them. The cheapest one was $700. I said, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. Because even if we had everything that we would need, you know, it's going to be a few hours, 2, 3, or more hours of labor. It's going to be at least half of that. And that's just to make an attempt. But she didn't want to pay the $700. So I said, okay, so we've got everything but a server. And she didn't have the SCSI cable to go from the server to the tape drive. Because it's an external SCSI tape drive. Which means we'd also need an adapter, right?
Right.
External SCSI adapter.
Yeah.
I said, let me dig around. I'll call you back. I went through my clients list, and I still have a client running an LTO tape drive with Backup Exec 2010.
Good. Really?
Yes. So we don't need any... All we need is a tape drive. All we need is a tape. We don't need to find a server, order a SCSI card, none of that. I called her back. I said, you are so lucky. I have a client who I've been trying to get off of this tape drive for years. They have not listened to me. They still have it. I can most likely restore your data from there using their server. After all this digging, all this looking around, she goes, okay, well, I'll get back if you want to do it.
Wow.
Okay.
And did you send
right?
a bill
because
for,
it's been
for discovery time?
Well, I'm not going to bill for any of that. I'm not going to bill for any of that because, I mean, I like her. She's a real good client. She's been going through some things. I'm not going to bill her for any of that. So, but again, this I shouldn't be surprised because it's 4 years old and it's important, but only important enough that she hasn't noticed it for 4 years. And I still told her it's still going to be, you know, $200-$300. Or maybe a little bit more for me to go to my client's office. I've got to, you know, inventory the tape. I've got to wait for that to process and finish. I've got to restore. You know, it's gonna take me a few hours. So she wasn't sure if this very important data was worth $200-$300 to restore after all that.
Wow. That
the luck. Imagine the luck, and then okay, I'll let you.
And then to yeah, and then not to jump on that luck, because
I think she should get in her car and drive that tape to me right now.
I was going
to
say, because what happens if you finally do convince that customer? Oh, time to get off tape. Are you going to remember to to pull that tape drive?
Customer's not going
to
get off tape.
Really? Never?
What's funny is she kept all that stuff.
Is she
okay? And she remembers me. I don't remember this. She remembers me telling her that if, because she says, I asked you if we should save this stuff. And you said, well, you could, but it's going to be very hard to restore from this if you need to restore in 4 or 5 years. And apparently I told her that, and she remembers that. So she knows it's going to be difficult, but imagine the luck. I have somebody still using it, and I'll get back to you.
Wow. Wow. Is she a hoarder?
No.
Wow.
Okay, so she's a hoarder with computer stuff.
Well,
but when you only have 5 computers, at the most they had 5 right. in the heyday, okay. Right? 5 and a server. Now they're down to 3 and no server. So there's not that much to say.
Yeah, but you know, customers years ago, I mean, I've had customers that have kept stuff because, you know, there are certain things that they do remember. I used to tell my customers when I presented them with their computer, I would have all their software, all their disk drives, you know, drivers, OS, and I'd give it to them. And it used to be the motherboard box
that I would
hand to them and say, this is your box of life. Don't ever lose this. If we ever need to fix your computer, I will need everything in this box. Yep. And then there are...
They lose it.
No. I have people...
Most of my clients lose it.
No. We'd be on a third or fourth computer, and they would still bring me the original box and say, do I still need this one? No.
Yes, the Smithsonian was looking for that stuff.
I'm going to hang it on my wall and make some money.
So what I do is... I used to do motherboard boxes, but in the past few years with HP and Dell, there's always a big Ziploc with this stuff.
Yep,
in it, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
So I always put everything in the Ziploc, and I'll put a piece of paper in
brother
there.
Label?
Was that?
Use a...
No, just a sheet of paper.
Okay, because you do the paper inside with all the information.
But what I'll put is, I'll put, you know, Dell Optiplex service tag, because I've seen people who say, this is Bob's computer. And 3 years, they give you that because this has Bob's computer. But Bob got 2 new computers since then.
Right.
So I don't like to do that. I actually put the service tag or their serial number. So there's no, because if Bob then passes his computer down to Mary, which just says Bob, not Mary. So I was always even put the, you know, serial number to specify the computer it goes to, not the person. But most times they would lose it or they'd say, don't you keep this at your office? No. I'd have to have a whole warehouse of CDs if I kept this in my office.
I do for a storage fee. I have one customer that pays me to keep. But on the so I do very similar. I actually take it out of the HP bag because the bag's kind of bulky, and I purchase special bags from Uline, and I'll take my D7 info report, which has all the information about the system, and I will also make a label, usually a Dymo label, that will list the computer make and model, the serial number, and sometimes it's either, you know, I just put, you know, if it's Windows 7, Windows 10, server, you know, that sort of stuff. So I put all that, so it's a sticker on the outside, and also the paper on the inside.
Yeah. I've seen people put stickers, but sometimes they come off, so I like to put a paper inside of it as well.
That's why I upgraded to, I used to use the little brother labels, but I upgraded to the Dymo labels. They seem to last longer.
Hmm. Yeah, but most of my clients lose that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll keep, I mean, we sell a lot of computers, so normally for one model, I'll keep a set, at least one set in my office.
Right.
That way, at least I have a set if I need it, because they're going to lose them.
Yep. They will.
And then they'll lie about it.
Liars!
I remember giving this to you. Yeah, okay. Just like you close your programs every night.
Every single night. Why would I forget? I know, because I close it and I grab my lunch bag to go home, and then I move my chair and put it right underneath the desk and make sure everything's all nice and neat, and I make sure the computer shuts off.
Yeah, they probably just run out of there because it's 5 o'clock. So, do you remember last week I talked about this user? I had the rename of the user account did would not work with the OneDrive sync login?
Right.
Okay. This is funny. I went through all that stuff last week, exported the mail, redid everything, shipped them the computer. Get a call. Hey, none of this stuff is right. None of my email is here. And I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent. Let's just say his name is Bob.
Okay. What about Bob?
But Bob, let's say, goes by the name, I don't know, let's think of a color, blue. So, you know, you have one of these things where it's, you know, Bob and then Blue Smith, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like in parentheses, Blue. Mm-hmm. He goes by Blue. So he says, every time I've talked to this person, he says Blue, 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 Blue. And I see an account called Blue. I would assume that's him, right?
Is it B-L-U or B-L-U-E? But yes.
Yeah. So I get a call saying none of this is working. All this stuff is addressed to Blue. All the emails. But that's him, right? I mean, that's... Who else would they be addressed to? And I said, well, it should be Bob. I said, Bob, what do you mean Bob? You've always told me Blue, Blue, Blue. So apparently years and years ago, there was two requests. One person said, create an account for Blue Smith. One said, create an account for Bob Smith. So HR or somebody submitted two requests.
Right.
Different names. So when he called, he said, Blue, 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 Blue. I see an account called Blue. That's what I set up for him. But he said none of his stuff is there. Yeah, he says, I go by Blue, but my login is Bob. Okay. So why do we have two accounts? And why is there a bunch of mail?
To Blue.
To Blue. He said, oh, I used to use that, but I don't use it anymore. Now I use Bob. Okay, does everyone know that? Because you got a lot of mail in here.
And wait a minute. How recent was the mail?
Some was recent, a lot was old, but some still was recent. But the thing is, all these time, there's been two accounts. It goes back to communication. I'm a big person of communication. He never once said, Bob. Everything he said was Blue. I see an account for Blue. That's what I'm setting up.
Yeah.
So everything I redid last week was for nothing. And I had to redo it again for the Bob account.
So did they had to send you the computer back? You did it?
No, I did it remotely.
Oh, okay. Whew. Thank God for remote.
Yeah, I did it remotely, but I'm like, okay. So, I mean, really, we could have avoided this if you said, my email address is this. He just said Blue, 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 Blue. Oh, well, he goes by Bob. Well, if he goes by Bob, why are you calling him Blue? Obviously, he doesn't go by Blue or by Bob if you keep calling him Blue. Mm-hmm. Don't call him Blue if you call him Bob. It frustrates me because I have tons of stuff to do. And I really don't have time to spend hours because they can't communicate effectively.
Well, especially when, you know, it's never like, you know, hey, I'm Robert, but I go by Bob. It's always something like, my name is Shaquita, call me Marcy. I'm like, what?
So that's wasted hours.
Mm-hmm. That's where I would double bill. Do you do that? Or are you gonna?
This client is on one of the all-you-can-eat unlimited plans.
What?
So I don't even get the bill for any of it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You do an all-you-can-eat plan?
This one client. Oh, we have it on three clients actually, but they pay a significant amount per month. A significant amount per month.
All right. I mean, I've got significant amount clients too, but there are things that they pay for. That is, you know.
I would like to bill for this. I would really like to bill for this when it's their error and then I communicate it effectively. I would love to bill it. I would love to bill when they tell me to create a user account and it's spelled wrong and I create it all up, set it all up on the computer, and the user says, hey, my name's misspelled. Oh, I've got to delete the account, redo everything because of the OneDrive issue.
Joy, oh joy.
It takes me twice as long. I would love to bill for that, but we don't. That does frustrate me.
You know, I think I've asked you this, but do you bill for reinfections of a virus or malware? If you clean up somebody's computer in less than 30 days, they get reinfected again?
I'll bill them if it's infected the next day.
All right. That's good to know.
I mean, if I was a mechanic and I somebody brought a car in with a dent on the side, and I fix the dent, and they drive away and get it dented again, I'm going to bill them again to fix the dent again.
But isn't
it was virus-free when you left. If you reinfected it, you're going to have to clean it again. I don't do that. I bill again.
Isn't that one of the best analogies to tell people about why we bill them for certain things? Because they seem to not understand that if they're on the internet all day, going to their sites and, you know, installing and uninstalling and, hey, this is a great game, and, hey, why don't you let Bob's son come and try to fix this for me? And then they bring it to you, and it's like, well, what do you mean we got to pay that much for it? But yet if you tell them, okay, if you get a car from Ford and you drive the heck out of it, you don't maintain it, you don't put the oil in it, you buy the crappiest gas, and then you decide to, hey, I'm going to try this E85 stuff. Oh, that didn't work. Let's go back to regular. And then you don't change your air filter, and then you go back to Ford because it's riding horribly, and you're like, can you fix this? They're going to be like, no. They understand the car analogy, but not the computer analogy.
Oh, yeah. They'll just think it's not, because they can't see it, they just think it was never clean. But although I will usually have them check, whatever the symptom is, they brought it to me. I have a lot of pop-ups. I'm having this. I'll tell them, check it now. Do you see the pop-ups? No. Do you see whatever you were experiencing before? No. Hey, it's clean. If you go on Facebook and click all kind of links, and you go to these, you do these Google searches for whatever you search for and click whatever links come up, you're going to get reinfected again. Okay? I can't help that. But it's clean now. Just like if you re-wreck your car, It's going to be dented again. You can't tell a mechanic, hey, I just fixed this dent, but it's still dented. Yeah, because you dented it again.
That's right.
Same thing with the computer. You whatever you do to your computer, you did it again. I'm not going to keep cleaning it for free because you keep treating your computer the same way. I don't do that. That's ridiculous. That's like a mechanic guaranteeing that you're never going to get your car dented again because he fixed the dent.
Right. That's, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just, that annoys me. I need some tea.
But I've heard people do that 30 days. 30 days? Are you insane? That's equivalent to a mechanic saying, I've rebuilt your car. Everything's fixed. No more dents. I'm going to guarantee for 30 days your car won't be dented again. And if so, I'll fix it for free.
Nope. 30 minutes.
And then they're going to go enroll in some kind of crash derby. And then bring it back. You say, oh, look, it got, you need to fix it again now.
Yeah. Yeah, this didn't perform well. Okay. well, this is a Toyota Corolla, you know, highway edition. You can't take it and, you know, take it and do off-roading with it and expect it to perform.
Yeah, I have a guarantee that it's clean right now. And you should check it right now, because right now is when it's clean.
And it's clean until you walk out that door. Yeah. Or until I walk out the door.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't see how people can do that.
What is this?
Maybe if you made them restricted users, lock down everything.
Well, that's the thing, because they always think, well, why does this keep happening? Why can't you make it so this never happens again? Well, yeah, I can.
Yeah, but you won't be able to do
just
anything.
Give me your computer and never go on it again.
Here's what you do. I can do a 30-day guarantee. I'll give it to them, they pay, and then I keep it for 30 days. After 30 days, they come pick it up. Well, now the guarantee's over. It's been virus-free for 30 days.
So you've never been a fan of what is the name of that thing where there was a program that they were touting a couple years ago that was basically, in a sense, a sandbox. So that you could go on your computer, work on it, blah, 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 and then reboot your computer, and it would be, it was like an image. It would just be like a rollback every day.
I've seen those.
I mean, come on.
Those are fine. I mean, I'm all for that if people have tendencies to go to sites that are questionable. But if you're going to do that, just get a Chromebook or, you know.
Or get a life. I don't. I mean, have a regular computer to do your work on, and have a porn computer. Have a, you know, And never the two shall meet.
The void in, they should fill the void in their life with something meaningful instead of keep getting their whatever they're doing. They get their computers infected constantly.
I'm just going on Facebook.
Yeah, which is a great place to get infections.
I've got to see the stupid giraffe being born or whatever it was. Who? What? I don't even remember what it was. Was it a giraffe?
Yeah,
it was.
Giraffe. Oh. It took months and months to. Be born.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I was so in every day at a law firm would call me, yeah, gotta still keep it blocked. It wasn't born yet. Because they wanted.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. They wanted me to block specifically that video feed so that people wouldn't spend all day waiting and watching to see if the giraffe would be born. That was the only thing.
But there's multiple ways that people are rebroadcasting that feed.
That was the only thing they wanted blocked. I'm like, I can't do that. I'd have to block your social media. I'd have to block your news. Right. I'd have to block. I mean, they're like, well, we can't.
Because there's multiple people streaming that. Can't you do a block star giraffe star? That's funny.
And then it would be like, well, so block it during the day while we're working. And then, you know, leave it open so we can stay late. And I'm like, come on.
Stay late. I was here till 3 a.m.
Oh.
Waiting for the giraffe to be born. What kind of life do they have that they can just sit and watch, wait for a giraffe to be born? I never once. You know what I watched? I saw something on Fox News with the 30 seconds of it being born. That's what I watched.
What? Really?
Yeah, I watched. I mean, I didn't even know about it until somebody said they'd been watching it for, I don't know, how ungodly long they wasted their watching that, but I didn't hear about it till the very end. And Fox just had a 30-second clip. I watched that. And I said, "Okay, that's nice."
I don't watch any of that stuff. I don't have time.
It was gross. The giraffe came out, right, and then a bunch of other stuff came out. The after giraffe.
Did they name stuff? It? Was there a name to the giraffe? Did they name it?
I don't know. I didn't.
I don't even remember. Let me. I should, here it is, Giraffe Cam Live, April the Giraffe, that was it.
I'm guessing it was born in April.
I hope so, but it was like, since like December, I had to do this with them.
Oh, wow.
They were like every other day checking in. Oh.
Look, you should watch the video and watch all the stuff that comes out after the giraffe.
It's 4 minutes and 8 seconds. I'm not watching that.
You should watch it, because the giraffe's laying on the ground, and all that stuff falls on top of it. Welcome to the barn.
Watch live, April the Giraffe Cares for Her Calf, live science.
You should watch it. It's the miracle of giraffe birth.
Come on. I couldn't even watch the election. You think I'm going to watch the giraffe giving birth? Come on. Okay, so guess what time it is? It's did you use your fluke this week?
I don't even know where it is.
Of course not. So I got to use mine today. And of course, it was stupid. It just absolutely
the reasoning or the fluke?
It was ridiculous. It was, so I'm at, so... So here's another reason I'm an angry tech today. So I'm happy because this client will pay my full rate, no questions asked. But they will call me for the most ridiculous thing. So today, well, I get a call yesterday, and they mixed up the days, first of all. So this customer is doing a web conference. And the way it was described to me is, we're doing this web conference, and it's more important than the moon landing. And I said...
To them.
So today, this afternoon, it was to go on site for the testing of the web thingy. So the client is based out of New York, and so there's a Fort Lauderdale office. So the IT company sends down two Plantronics headsets that are going to plug into their Cisco VoIP phones. They also send down a marketing guy who's going to be here, and his sole purpose is to assist the guy that's giving the web talk. And I guess I can mention it. It's on the Bright Talk Networks. So he's doing this 30-minute session on Bright Talk. And he's doing it. He's doing it. I'm sorry. So he's sitting at his desk. And he's doing the Bright Talk. So they've got the Cisco headset. The guy that's down from New York assisting him also will have a headset. And he's actually going to be assisting the guy with the presentation to make sure that he gets through his slides at 2 minutes a pop. And he's got a whole set of papers that as he goes through a slide, he gets to hold up a sign that says 30 seconds left. So the web talk is 30 minutes. So we allotted 2 hours today for the testing. But part of the 2 hours I didn't realize was me having to take out these Plantronics headsets, assemble them, and show the people how to connect them to the phones. Mind you, I've never seen this setup.
Right. Well, the assumption is to most people is that if we're computer guys, we automatically know everything about every piece of electronics.
Yes. And so the web talk tomorrow is scheduled for 9:30. They want me there at 8:00.
Maybe they're going to give you a delicious breakfast.
So, they're like, well, just in case there's any hiccup, we want you to be there. I'm like, okay,
before
what hiccup? It's a web talk on the internet. So if the internet goes down, what help can I do? If the phones don't work, what help can I do? I don't run the phones. Everything is run from New York.
The only thing I can help you with is user error.
I can help you plug it in. Make sure it turns on.
But I'm going to need someone to hold up a cue card for me.
And so while I'm there, the guy who's doing the web talk, it's a big financial guy, and he goes, so can you check something out for me? And I'm like, oh, God. So he's like, well, I got this Mac, and it's supposed to be Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi doesn't really work around here that well. So they hooked up this hardline backup for me. So a guy flew down from New York, hooked all this up, and as he was leaving, said, okay, you're all good to go, but it hasn't worked. I'm like, well, when did he do that? Oh, like a month ago. So I said, okay, well, show me what it does. He plugs it in, and he's trying to open up the internet, and it says no connection. Turns off the Wi-Fi, you know. So now, mind you, I really had no idea what I was doing today. So the two bags that I bring in are my notebook and my flute bag. So I just happened to pull out. I didn't pull out the big boy. I pulled out just the link runner, hooked it up to the Cat5 cable, connected to the switch, and got an IP address, but it was the wrong VLAN. And so I said, okay, well, did they test this before they left? And they said, no.
Of course not.
So
Why come down from New York and actually test it?
So I had to call New York to tell them, because I did go into the server room and try to see if I could plug into any open slots, but you know, this is one of those companies where they literally configure every slot. So you can't just, you know, if something's not working, you can't just take a cable and plug it into another slot if it's a bad port. They actually have to configure the port. So, of course, the guy, you know, is questioning me, saying, well, are you sure it's not working? So I take a screenshot of my Fluke.
Maybe it's working and you don't know it.
And send it to him. And I said, well, here's the IP information I got. So it shows him it's on CRO1 switch 2 port 7. It's getting this IP address, but it's coming up with VLAN 20, but voice VLAN 25. I send him all this and he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. So I'm thinking, I go back to the guy. I said, did you tell them this wasn't working? He goes, yeah, I told him the day after. So for a month, nobody has fixed this for him.
Well, it was only a backup.
Yes. So next time I go in tomorrow, I'm going to offer him a Wi-Fi audit.
There you go. Bring a little golf flag out there.
Because that's the whole reason is, and here's how ridiculous it is. This is a client that I was there when he said something's wonky with the Wi-Fi, and I said, like what? He goes, well, you know, every day around 11:30 or 12, it stops working. So I'm like, okay, you're right next to a kitchen. Any chance there's interference? Oh, I don't know. So I offered this company, I said, well, I've got a Wi-Fi analyzer. I can do this for you. No, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. So that was them flying down.
They took care of the backup.
That was them flying down to plug in a cable to give him his hardline backup that did not work.
Nice. So there, they, in that point, it wasn't supposed to be a backup. It was intended to be primary because Wi-Fi was not working.
Yes.
Yeah, why test it?
Yeah,
I'm sure it's fine.
So, listen, test your stuff.
Stuff.
Test your stuff. I mean, that's just insane. And this is, you know, if it was a cheap company, some guy trying to do his own stuff, I get it. But this is a huge company. And when I say huge, I mean, it is, what's the best way to describe this? It's basically one of these financial asset management companies. They got the money. If they have...
You know what happened. The guy went down there. It took him longer than he thought. He had to catch his flight out of there. He just did it, and he had to leave to get his flight.
Well, I have to assume that he had other stuff on the checklist, because I can't imagine that that would be the only thing on his checklist, that he flew all the way down on a morning flight, stayed for 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours maybe, to get back to the airport to go home. Because I have to assume that that's what he did. He had a checklist of stuff, and one of them was to, you know, hey, check, you know, Matt's Wi-Fi. Oh, it's not working here. Just plug a cable in, you'll be fine. Let me go do the other stuff that I'm really here to do. That's what it had to be.
Yeah, he had to catch his flight, and he didn't want to spend time on it. So you have to go there an hour and a half early.
Yes.
In case there's an issue. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to... See, look, I understand they pay the rate, mm-hmm. so it's billable time, and you can't be mad about billable time.
Right.
But, I personally might have said, I can't do that. I have clients frequently who ask me to do things, and it's billable time, but I just don't have the time, because if I went to that office and sat there for an hour and a half, I would have 15 things that I could have done instead of that, instead of sitting around. Like one guy, he called me and he says, can you come to my office? I want to be able to know how to access this other user's mailbox in Outlook. And I said, well, I've already configured that. Just scroll down in Outlook on the left and you'll see that person's mailbox. Just expand it and you'll be able to see it. Well, can you come over tomorrow and show me that? I said, no. I can't. I can do a remote session and walk you through it. I said, but I don't have enough time in my schedule to do that. And I don't. I'm busy all day long. You think? And I could bill them an hour easily.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could bill them a half an hour and show them remotely and be done and move on to the next thing instead of driving out there to see the point. There it is.
That's where you send a tech to connect you remotely so you can show the guy.
And I had text. Everyone was busy. And that's the kind of thing where it does kind of annoy me that they just think that I can waste an hour or two of my day for something that could take 5 minutes remotely. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, this can be done remotely. And in fact, I told him, you just need to scroll down and Alec on the left. I said, I can walk you through it, or I can connect your computer to show you, but it really is just look in Outlook further down the left.
Well, you know what that is. That's a ruse.
Right. It could be that, since you're
absolutely
here.
Absolutely.
And that's also why I don't like doing that, because I don't like when they do that. In fact, when they do that, I'll tell them, look, I'll make a ticket, email support email address, and that way we can make a ticket and I'll schedule it, because I actually have other things already scheduled and I really don't have time for that right now. But if you make a ticket, I'll put it on the schedule. I don't let them do that either. That annoys me too.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. I've got places where you go and people specifically will not submit a ticket or send an email because they want to wait until you're there.
I don't fall for
but
that.
I got to show you. I'm like, doesn't matter. And which is, I've got one customer where it is a running joke where if I'm walking through the halls and somebody tries to stop me and ask, somebody else a couple of seats down will go, did you email support?
Yeah. I mean, look, because that's their way of trying to jump the line. Mm-hmm. If I've got people who schedule stuff days in advance, I can't miss their appointment just because you wanted to say, oh, while you're here. I mean, It doesn't work that way. And I explained it to them that we have to try. I said, you wouldn't like it if I was another client and I had to miss your appointment because they said, oh, while you're here. They see it that way, but they don't care about it when I'm there.
Right. The best way I've learned to circumvent that is if it's a staff person and they try to do that, I'll just say, look, the owner has called me here to do this list of stuff, but I only have this amount of time to do it. So here's what we can do. You pay for me to bump him and to do your stuff. What? You heard me. Because this is what I would normally do. You're basically going to pay the rush fee, which is you're paying me to take away from his time, and you're going to pay for me to use my time to do your stuff. So, but that would be double. Yes, that is double. And why would I have to pay? You're here already. I'm here to do this stuff, not your stuff.
Yeah, that's frequent. They lie. They lie to get you out there. They don't. They're all cagey. But yeah, I tell my guys, if it literally is a 30-second thing, go ahead and do it. If it's going to be more than that, and we have other things on the schedule, you need to tell them to open a new ticket for that to get on the schedule. Yeah. Because you don't have enough time allotted for that. Tell them you have other clients already scheduled. We've got to keep on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
Oh. All right. So,
everything.
What?
No, go ahead. I think we're getting pretty late.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I was going to say, we have dived. We have really.
I like these words. I like where you're going with these words.
We are dug in deep in the angry tech syndrome tonight. All right.
And if you've been listening this long, you've got to enjoy words such as dive in and dove in. Is that what you said?
Well, hey, listen, Podnuts Unscripted is what we always say, right? That's how you know we are not prepping for these shows as much as you would like.
No, I barely have time to do the shows. I don't have any time for prep.
All right. So, yeah, let's start to wrap this up. Did we touch on everything you wanted to get to tonight?
Absolutely. Enough. Because we're so late.
So we don't have to do housekeeping because we spent a lot of time on the Unconvention website. Just know this, if you haven't bought your ticket yet, use the discount code PODNUTS. Also, what did we ask for Tex to send us stories on? Computer.
Is that this show?
Computer.
The and the critters?
Computer critters.
Computer critters.
Send us your computer critter story. We asked for something else. I got to go back and listen to the shows. We asked for a bunch of stuff. We'll figure it out.
Let's see.
Email the show. Tell us your... are you remembering?
I'm looking at my notes. Not that I can recall.
I don't...
I'm sure the listeners remember.
Yes, they will.
I mean, it was like an hour and a half ago.
I don't know. Roll back the tape. All right, so let's go ahead and end off here. So we've forgotten our stuff. I just did the disclaimer. If you want to email us, podnutspro@podnuts.com. And if you have computer critter stories, if you have other stories, other questions, other comments, suggestions for the show, please let us
know. Longer, shorter.
Have you guys heard of an egg timer?
I really always have the intention to keep it under an hour.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Let me write this down. So what?
I need somebody with a cue card.
We need, yes. You
know, 30 minutes
30
left.
30 minutes left, yes. That's what we need. If somebody can give us a little computer pop-up program in the middle of the show. Ding, ding, ding.
Maybe if we did it live and had a chat, people would say, hey,
shut up. I got to get to bed.
And then when everyone's out of the chat because they all like got out, we'd be like, maybe we should end it.
All right. So let's I just lost the page. My website closed. Here we go. Mr. Benjamin Franklin. So I'm sure people have heard this one, but I want to get it out the way because I have no idea how much longer we'll be saying these. And some of these that I've started to read are just not podcast worthy, both in content and in length. So I'm sure that you've heard this one, but ladies and gentlemen, our quote tonight from Mr. Benjamin Franklin, guests, like fish, begin to smell after 3 days. And pod nuts like this start to flounder after 90 minutes. That's it, right?
That's it. I do recall from that quote that you said you had a house guest in.
That's my nephew. And he's working. Okay. And he's working.
All right. I just wonder if that quote was anything related to your current situation.
I wish I could tell the story. If I remember next week, I'll tell it. But he's been trying to negotiate his rate for work in my office.
And okay, we'll put a note for that.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening, especially if you've been listening this long, to this episode of Podnuts Pro. Please head to the website, podnuts.com, and listen to all the other great podcasts. But be sure to come back to this one because it's so much fun. Thank you, my friend, Matt Rainey, for a lovely evening tonight. And for all of you out there listening, until next time, holla.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. If you're interested in anything technology related, I invite you to take a listen to the latest episodes of my show. Each week, I'll discuss any tech topic that comes to mind. I review hardware, software, games, and even discuss robotics and other things such as rocket launches. You don't have to be a tech expert to love technology. Join me each week as I share my thoughts on everyday tech for everyday people.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.